Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you came into this world to give us hope, to transform our lives as you started your ministry and it flourished up to this time. May you help us as we listen to your word through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, yes, what I didn't say in the interviews, I bring you greetings from my wife, Mama Beatrice, and our 5 children and 11 grandchildren. And I'm the Archbishop of Uganda. Uganda is in the eastern part of Africa, and we are landlocked, and we thank God for enough sunshine and good rainfall, and that is how God has blessed us. You are former Prime Minister Churchill called it the Pearl of Africa, and we feel very happy to be part of that country. I was given to talk about Jesus' ministry begins, which was our gospel reading this morning. And as a background, the earlier verses talk about John the Baptist. The coming of Jesus into the world was the greatest gift God gave to humanity. God gave to the world. Jesus' coming was a practical demonstration of God's love, as he says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. And the Apostle John, in his Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 9, he refers to Jesus as the light of the world. He says, verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. John the Baptist was the herald of the good news, the announcer of the coming of the Messiah. In his ministry, John was very clear about the prophecy of Isaiah regarding the coming of Jesus. And he quotes Isaiah, chapter 4 and verse 3, the voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The prophecy of Isaiah had been fulfilled, and Jesus was born, whom Isaiah had talked about, chapter 9 of Isaiah and verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. One with authority, love, and transformation. To transform the lives of many. John was addressing people who flocked to him for baptism. We have just welcomed and witnessed the baptism of Odin. We welcome him into the flock of Christ, and as we welcomed him, we know he has become a new member. And from the baptism of John, when Jesus was baptized, we have always welcomed members into the faith through baptism. Yes, verse 7 of chapter 3, but when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping repentance. As experts, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were so much involved in the law, they needed to hear a strange message of the gospel, which is good news of the kingdom of God. The church must remain focused on the evangelistic ministry of transformation, not compromising the gospel by telling people what they want to hear. In the world today, people are telling, even pretending to be preachers, they are telling people what their ears want to hear. But here is John, who was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees that there was judgment coming. So by telling people about the truth of the gospel, we are telling them about Jesus, about his love, about his power to save and to forgive, the power to liberate and restore a broken relationship and reconcile men and women to their fellow men and women and back to God. We need to be reconciled. So verse 9, he said, do not presume to say for yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. What was so plain and indeed so tough for these people to hear It is easy, dear friends, to get used to patterns and tradition and fail to see the need for Jesus. John referred to the one who was more superior than him, more powerful, and that is Jesus. So John's baptism was by water, and water is a symbol of cleansing. It is the outward visible sign that shows the inward spiritual grace. And on behalf of Odin, the parents and godparents have affirmed that they will bring him up, and we have also said the same because we are a family of faith. So John baptized with water, but the baptism of Jesus was to be by the Holy Spirit. Yes, he said, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I am, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And for us in East Africa, we have the East African revival. When the Spirit came in 1935 and people were put on fire for the Lord, they repented of their sins. Public confession was very prominent and spread like bushfire through Uganda and the whole of East Africa. The East African revival, the renewal that took place by the Spirit of the Lord, has maintained the church up to this day. And then we look at Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the men and women who gathered in Jerusalem were transformed. The ministry of Jesus started with water baptism by John in the River Jordan. He was recognized by his father soon after his water baptism. Verse 16, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus was publicly recognized. He was recognized by his Father because he had come to establish a new kingdom, to usher into the world a new kingdom, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of eternal life. So this chapter talks about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, chapter 4. Led by the Spirit, he was drawn into the wilderness to have more time with the Lord. So fasting is a biblical thing for us in our Christian journey. Jesus, you may want to say, he was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days. Yes, and the devil was scared. You know, he was God. Jesus was God. He left his heavenly glory. He was the third person of the Trinity. He came down, took up human nature. He was born of a human mother like you and I, and he grew up. So at that time, when he was beginning his earthly ministry, he was led into the wilderness to spend more time as he was preparing for the greater mission of reconciling humanity back to God. The devil was scared. He was not sure of what was happening. So he wanted to take advantage. Jesus was both God and man, as I have said, but he was tempted, and the Bible tells us he knew no sin. He never sinned. We are different because we are flesh and blood. We are always tempted. Jesus knew no sin. He didn't yield to sin. The first temptation, as we had in our gospel reading, was about trying to satisfy the physical hunger Jesus had. Because for 40 days, at the end of it, as he was coming out, he felt hungry. During fasting, you are denying yourself from many other things that cause pleasure, including food, and Jesus felt physically hungry, and the devil knew about that. And he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of Man, command these stones to become loaves of bread. That was the weakest point for Jesus at that time. He wanted him to obey. The devil wanted Jesus to obey and turn stones into bread because the devil thought he had powers to do that. And this story is also recorded in Luke chapter 4. And he talks about the same story. And Jesus was so much weak and hungry. The devil took advantage of Jesus' situation. He was in the wilderness to prepare for the great mission and ministry. The evil one takes advantage of us, dear friends. We are all tempted, and the devil speaks the same language. To a bishop and an archbishop, he speaks the language I understand. To clergy, to elders, to grandpas and grandmas, he speaks the same language. So the devil understands your situation. He understands your anxieties, and he knows what to say to you. So he always takes advantage of our situations. Yes, he uses the familiar situation and environment to tempt us, to let us feel that it is okay. That's what you really need, but not following our priorities. In life, we need to set priorities, not to be bent and listen to the louder voices of the world. To look at Jesus, to obey him, and that is the way we can stand firm in times of temptation. But Jesus was firm. He depended upon God's word. That is the same with the second and third temptations. Jesus would say, "It is written." He did not want to depend upon his power. We are on our Christian journey, but we live in a fallen world, the world that is hurting, and therefore we need a higher power. We need to depend upon the power of God. And when you are using your own intellectual ability, you have the money, you have everything, you have a good car, you have a good house, that is not enough. You need to have a higher power, that when your energy is finished, when you have reached the end of the tunnel, you have someone to rely upon. And Jesus, although he was God, he had human flesh, he was tempted, but he remained firm, and he depended entirely on God's word. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need the word of God. Whatever is happening in and around us in our world today is a reflection that many people no longer listen to the word of God. Yes, people think they have everything. People think they have got it all. But we remain empty, limited human beings. We need to depend upon God and his word. That is why Bible study must be intensified today for Christian men and women. Bible believers, we must remain focused on the Bible to get God's direction and have physical and spiritual guidance and direction. We have to maintain that status of having the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The second temptation, when the devil told Jesus to worship him, he commanded him that the angels will come and support him if he throws himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Jesus said again, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test." Many times we yield to temptation because we do not have the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Even the third temptation, that was the same story that Jesus said, "Be gone, Satan. Satan, free from him," and the angels ministered to Jesus when he rebuked him with the Word of God. You cannot manage to use human language. We need to use the angelic language, the heavenly language, to rebuke the devil. If we compromise, and when we are so weak and we are not aware, the devil takes advantage of us. But Jesus kept saying, "It is written." And finally he said, "Get away from Satan. Get away from me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Friends, we need to come closer to the Lord, to trust him, trust his word. Let us trust the authority of God, of God's word, to guide us in all situations. In our rapidly changing world, we are the disciples of Jesus of our century to carry on the ministry he established around the Lake of Galilee. And we must depend upon his Spirit to continue in the faithful study of his word, to resist temptation of our time, never to compromise the gospel of the kingdom of God. We must maintain the kingdom values. There are many values in our world, but the kingdom of values are above every other value. So we need to know that Jesus came to establish that kingdom when he started his ministry. And remember on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples had got that power of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 2 and verse 11, they were speaking with heavenly language. Acts chapter 2 and verse 11b, I like that part of the passage. Acts chapter 2, when they had got the Holy Spirit and they were in the Spirit, because the people who were there, including Peter, who had been scared, even when Jesus had showed them the wounded hands on his side, they were still not very sure. But in chapter 1 of Acts and verse 8, he said, when the Spirit of the Lord comes, when my Spirit comes, He will fill you, and you'll be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So chapter 2 and verse 11, when they were in the Spirit, people from all over the world, including North Africa, from Libya and other parts, were hearing them talking about great things. And verse 11b, he said, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. That is what happens when the Spirit comes. You do not speak your human language. You do not understand things in your human language, worldly language. You understand things in the Spirit. We hear them talking about the wonders of God. Friends, what do people hear you talk about here in your own environment? What do people hear you talk about? Our grandmothers and grandfathers, what do your children and grandchildren hear you talk about? The youth, what do people hear you talk about? They were heard talking about the wonderful works of God. When you follow Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and let me tell you, it remains the church of Jesus Christ. Even when it has challenges, it is militant, there are many wars, the church is militant here on earth, but it remains the church of Jesus Christ. And you and I are members of that body of Christ. So it is very important to know that we must listen to God. We must listen to him through his Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord that was given to us, the wonderful counselor, so that we can say things that glorify God. At home, at work, wherever you are, people should hear you because you are a Christian, and being a Christian means you follow Jesus Christ. And because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, people should hear you talk the language different from the language of the common men and women. We hear them talk about the wonders of God. What a wonderful transformation. Yes, we can now begin talking about the heavenly language even when we are still in this world. And I want to tell you, heaven begins from here. It will not be accidental. Going to live with the Lord forever, we must begin from here, getting prepared that we are on our way to eternity. And therefore, we need to begin talking the heavenly language so that we are connected to the Lord who has been here before us and who has gone, as John chapter 14 says, that let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. And he promises the greatest promise, that he has gone to prepare places for us and he will come. But today, many people's hearts are troubled. Many people's lives are breaking down because they are so disconnected. But let me tell you that the creeds tell us that he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and for me. We have an intercessor. Jesus Christ, who started his ministry, is now in heaven interceding for you and me. He knows the challenges we are going through, and we have an intercessor. Does that encourage you? Does that encourage you to press on? Because Jesus knows your future and my future, we must remain confident and trust him so that when temptation comes, we say it is written. We depend upon the power of the word of God. Other things will change. Other ideologies and philosophies will change, but the word of God will never change because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to wish you God's blessings as we resist temptation, trusting the power of Jesus and his word. And as the Bible says, we are more than conquerors in Jesus' name. God bless you. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you because you have spoken to us. You started a ministry that we are part of, and we continue to do your work. Lord, may you help us, fill us with your Spirit, that we may remain firm, resisting the temptation as you did, trusting your word to lead us through this dark world to the everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.